I'm just sitting on the back step of my house, the new place I live in, with Craig from Val Countdown and other Keith. I like this house. It's a good little house. Much better than sleeping on the couch like I did. Between that and Vinyl Countdown is starting to go pretty well. You know, I'm kind of at this point where my friend Matt, he turned down a job offer so he could go sow his wild oats a little. And I was thinking if he moved to Montreal or Vancouver, I would be tempted to go. Just switch things up a little bit, but I don't want to leave. If I was still sleeping on that couch, I might think about it. Man, thank God I'm not. Imagine that. But I like this apartment in Toronto. It'd be hard to recreate this. You know, I couldn't just ramble back into town and live with people that I like in a cool house again this easily. I mean, it took a year of sleeping on a couch before this came together, you know? So I believe I'll be staying here for the time being. And yeah, the Vinyl Countdown stuff is going pretty well. We started doing little videos and stuff. It's pretty cool. So this is one of the things I like to do, is just to sit here on this back step. This nice little backyard. There is a convenience store attached to our house that sometimes the convenience store people come out and hang out back here. So hopefully one of them doesn't come out when I'm talking to myself, just because it would be embarrassing. But generally, it's nice. I can just sit on these steps and got trees and grass, and you can hear a little bit of stuff neighboring. I can hear some kind of construction going on right now, but it cuts down a lot on the sound because I'm not right by the road. It's generally pretty quiet back here. It's kind of cool. Oh man, it rained like crazy last night, just super rain. That kind of rain that I used to, when I was in Vancouver, I'd be like, man, I miss East Coast rain. Like, because it never rains hard on the West Coast. It just dribbles all the time. But it rained so hard last night, super crazy. It was really neat. Anyway, I think I'm just going to sit back here and play some songs. This is going to be a pretty music-heavy episode, just because I built up some songs I want to play. So the first one is, I played this like 3 years ago. It's this band called Army of Anyone that was Stone Temple Pilots, but without Scott Whelan. It was instead Richard Patrick, the singer from Filter. I started going back and listening to old Stone Temple Pilots. Man, their first album was so good. So fucking awesome. But I'm going to have to dig up this album again, this Army of Anyone, because I remember only liking this one song at the time. And it still really holds up, man. It's fucking awesome. I just really dig this song. It's called This Wasn't Supposed to Happen, and it's super cool. So let's listen to that.
I wish you would be with me.
I keep hearing this one siren. It's like, what the fuck is that, man? If your siren's going, shouldn't you be moving? It should either be coming toward me or going away from me, not just sitting there. Okay, maybe it stopped. So yeah, I've been just feeling nostalgia-y. Summer in Toronto now. So got a little bit of a New York feel, you know? It's like sort of humid and a little crowded by Canadian standards. Reminds me a bit of New York, and maybe this is the official cutting point, like 3 years. Maybe this is what it takes for my nostalgia fucking circuits to kick in, where it's been just long enough now that New York doesn't feel like close to me anymore. It doesn't feel like a place I just left. Now it feels more like a place that I won't ever go back to, you know? I might go back to visit, but that specific type of life, dating Ian and being on Keith and the Girl and just walking around Midtown and stuff, that's gone now. Like, that is definitely not, there's no way to get it back, you know? Keith and Hemda's old studio's gone. Relic's gone. Our old apartment's gone. I emailed Ian the other day. Just, I haven't talked to her in forever, but she didn't answer. So I started going back and listening to some of the old ham radios from that time. It's kind of cool to have that little document. Sometimes they drive me crazy, though. Holy shit. I talk so slow sometimes in these shows, especially in the old ones. Maybe I just didn't edit the pauses out as much. It is driving me bananas. It's like, get to the song, asshole. What are you even talking about? You know, I'm not looking forward to winter coming back, but that is one nice thing, is that Toronto is a lot quieter in the winter. It really is winter time and then construction time. Like, since they got to squeeze everything in while it's warm out, it's just constant construction and trucks going by and fucking buzz saws and jackhammers and all kinds of crap. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, yeah, it's neat to have that weird little window to reflect back on me. I also listened back to that XO I did about Toronto versus New York, which is like a 2.5 hour epic. Man, that thing is crazy long. But I don't know, all this stuff, it's kind of strange. It's neat to have this little window back into things that happened 2 or 3 years ago. Oh shit, is it starting to rain? Fuck, I gotta go inside. Oh, maybe it's not rain. Maybe that's just wind blew the leaves and it made a drop hit my computer. Okay, I think it's all right. No, it's kind of neat where you can get, you know, it helps you remember those times a little bit, but you can't get them back though. Like, it's still, I remember things that I would have forgotten otherwise. It brings back these weird little memories that I would have forgotten, but it still, it just ain't coming back, you know. You can't have it back. So it's, I don't know how, I just feel weird, I guess. Feel weird lately. Anyway, I found a bunch of demos of old Guns N' Roses stuff, and this is the instrumental demo for that song, Estranged, from Use Your Illusion. One of them, I don't remember which one. And it's really good. I'm going to play just the first bit, the cool piano part and guitar part. It kind of, there's this distinct point where the song changes tone, and then I don't like it anymore. So when that happens, I'll just fade it out. So this is Estranged by Guns N' Roses. We'll be right back. So another weird little path I started going down is the day I moved to Vancouver was the day of the series finale of Friends. I remember in my hotel I watched it, even though I hadn't seen Friends in years. It was like a nice little thing. And I looked it up, so it was May 6th, 2004. And then that got me just watching some old Friends episodes. I remember in the first season, I liked Friends quite a lot. And then it just lost me. Something about the tone got too, I don't know. I just didn't like it anymore. But I've just been going back and watching some random episodes, and it's kind of neat. It really is that 90s show, especially the really early ones. They were from 94, and really big portable phones and just weird clothes and stuff. It's kind of cool to watch. And it's for a laugh track sitcom. It's kind of, it works all right. I think it's because I read up about it and they really did have a studio audience. That's why it's so ridiculous that it takes place in New York. It's one of those shows that until you told me later, I would never have known. Even Seinfeld, which was a much more realistic version in New York, is still not really like New York. And Friends isn't even close to like New York, but they explain one reason why they have these like huge loft apartments no one would ever be able to afford. It's just because there is a studio audience and cameras and lights, and like, it's just how it's got to be. Although it should not have been set in New York. That's what I don't get. That couldn't be a less New York-y show than Friends, you know? It's just so cheery and everyone's so soft. It should have been like set in... I'm gonna head inside. This is not a good spot to talk to myself. I keep hearing the people that work at the convenience store come out back to toss out some boxes or something, and that is embarrassing to me. And I keep feeling the rain too, just little drops of rain. Not a good place to have my laptop out. So what was I saying? Yeah, Friends, like, I don't know, there's so many other American cities. I should make some coffee, actually. I'm out of it. Why not set a show somewhere else, you know? I mean, sometimes sitcoms do, I guess. But yeah, this, the New York-centric view of America. I mean, you know it's gone too far when fucking Friends is set in New York. Like, there's no reason. It's just those are not New York people. It doesn't make any sense. And it's like anytime they show a subway station or something, it's just so fake. It's fucking ridiculous. But yeah, there's things I remember about that show, like going back to season one when I was still in high school. Yeah, that's like Chandler. You know, Chandler was funny before his shtick became so shticky and just got annoying. Just stuff like, in the very first episode, he's like, well, all right, kids, I gotta go to work. Because if I don't go crunch those numbers, doesn't really make any difference. You know, I just remember that cracking me up back then, and then it still does watching it now. I'm like, yeah, it's a good line. Ross and Rachel can fuck off, though. I hate them. They're like the worst characters in the world. They're such fucking douchey asshole, fuckface, moron. Well, I mean, Ross is just a big emo bitch, and Rachel's a vapid cunt. Ugh. But anyhow, what I was gonna say, I guess, yeah, is like, I don't think back before Vancouver very often. Generally, maybe that's why I am so nostalgic. It's because I'm generally pretty proud of stuff that I did. Went to Vancouver. Then babysat my niece, and then moved to New York, which, you know, I didn't love it there, but I mean, it's a cool thing to say that you did. But I don't really think about that time before that much, where there were still things, like I was working on a novel that I never quite finished, but working on music a lot. Me and my friends had like these little bands and stuff, and I really liked my little group of friends that I had back then. It was really fun to hang out with them before they all dissolved a little bit. But I thought about that, and it's like, I graduated high school in 96? Is it 96 or 97? Probably 96. And then I didn't leave till 2004, but I'll give myself 2003. You know, by 2003, I was ready to go. I was just, like, gathering my resources. But that's, like, 6 or 7 years. It was shocking to me how long I just kind of hung around in my hometown. For a lot of that, I'd still just lived with my parents. Like, I really, after high school, man, it feels like I so much, such a waste of time. I mean, I could have gone to university and still done everything that I did. I know it wouldn't have worked that way. Things would have gone differently, but I just kind of worked at a comic store. I don't know, it's just got me down a little bit. Like, it doesn't matter, I can't change it, I can't go back, but that was a really long time. That makes me wonder about my parents, like, why did they push me so hard in high school, like, just unreasonably hard, like, would never let me take a day off or just, like, get the fuck out of there and get my head together. But as soon as high school was over, it was a total ceasefire. That's when they should have been pushing a little bit, and they just stopped. And I guess that was the beginning of this notion that I know what I'm doing, and I got it covered. And I sure didn't. Holy fuck, I still don't. I just talked to my mom the other day, because it was Father's Day, and I happened to get her first. You know, about what I'm doing with myself, and what kind of life I'm heading toward. And I don't know, man, I still don't know. I don't know. I guess I can't complain, it's nice not to be pushed and harassed and forced into things you don't want to do, but to have the total opposite, where you can just do whatever you want, is very weird and listless and doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel natural. It's like, I'm really lucky that I'm one of these people that can just follow my own muse. But I think I'm starting to feel listless. Okay, well, I don't really have a song lined up that fits in with the Friends era so much. So I'm gonna go back to New York. That year I was in New York, that was when Mindless Self-Indulgence's album If came out, and one of my favorite songs was called Evening Wear, and I found the remix parts for it the other day, you know, where you can just take just the different tracks, like here's the drums, here's the vocals. So I stripped out a bunch of stuff and made sort of an acoustic version of it, just a lot of the piano. So this is Evening Wear by Mindless Self-Indulgence, the acoustic-y version, the piano version. This is my vindication, with a little decoration, and no need to keep me waiting. Be intimidated by what we have created, 'cause underneath the radar got myself a fucking life, dressed up in evening wear, and I dress myself in fucking lies. I don't care, makeup won't help me much too much. It's not fair to be compared to you, to be compared to you, to be compared to you. Just call me Mr. Modest. I got it and I thought it. You can applaud if you wanna. I could rock and I'm stopping when the sasses are rocking. I do not come a knocking. I got myself a fucking life, dressed up in evening wear, and I dress myself in fucking lies. I don't care, makeup won't help me much too much. It's not fair to be compared to you, to be compared to you, to be compared to you. Ba 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 ba. Hey, hey, hey. Ba 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 ba. Yo ho ho. Ba 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 ba. Hey, hey, hey. Ba 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 ba. Everybody wants to join the club. Wants to join the club. The innocence is gone. Everybody wants to be the bomb. But once you are the bomb, the innocence is gone. Everybody wants a big old slice on the big old party. The innocence is gone. Everybody wants a. I got myself a fucking life, dressed up in evening wear, I dress myself in fucking lies. Guess what? I don't care, makeup won't help me much too much. It's not fair, I dress down until I disappear. But I won't do it alone. No, I won't do it alone. Oh, I won't do it alone. Ba 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 da ba. Hey, hey, hey.
day. Ba 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 da bop, yo ho ho. Ba 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 da bop, hey hey hey. Ba 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 da bop, yo ho ho. Ba 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 da bop, hey hey hey.
Here's something I can play that's just kind of relates a little to the summer song. Could have been a good song to open the show with. Where did I come across? Somewhere I just randomly came across an old AFI song. And man, AFI was so good. There was Black Sails in the Sunset and The Art of Drowning. Those two albums really just crazy good. I downloaded them again and it's like, holy shit, so awesome. And the one before that was pretty good too. And then they lost me pretty hard. And then they put out this weird album called December Underground that was very different, almost like a pop album or like a Depeche Mode thing. I kind of didn't mind it that much because at least it wasn't just a watered-down version of what they used to do. It was a distinct change. It was very different. And they had kind of changed a couple times already. Like, they started off as a hardcore punk band, and then they turned into this goth rock band, and then this whatever you would call this. And I don't like very many songs on it, but going back, there were some that I liked. This one's called Summer Shudder, and it's just kind of a weird, cool little song. And it's about summer and the rain and stuff happening, so let's listen to that.
Listen what I say when I say it's
Yeah, you know, so now that I got my rambling off my chest, I do have a bunch of songs kind of lined up here. So, and I got a lot of room on my Libsyn account, so let's just do that. Just another show of just now it'll get into what I said it was going to be, just lots of songs with short introductions. Now that I got my malaise on tape and everyone can remember it for all time. Alright, here's the song, this band Something Corporate, that the only song I liked really by them was If You See Jordan, and the one about the moon, Me and the Moon. I found a third song that I like. It's not as good as those two, but it's still pretty cool. It's called Kavanaugh Park. And there's like a line from it where he mentions his friend who makes fucking up look cool. And for some reason, that just reminds me of my friend Tim from when I was in junior high school. He was like jockey dude, played football and stuff. But we became friends because he drew comic books. He wanted to draw comic books. I think he has like a graphic design job business now. He's actually, it's weird, it's a football player that got me into comic books. He's the one that gave me The Dark Knight Returns and kicked off that, and then Sin City kicked off me getting into comic books. And I haven't seen him in years, but he was a really cool dude, Tim Martin. I liked him a lot. And yeah, at lunch we'd go hang out at his house, and I don't know, man, he was just a cool dude, and for whatever reason that line from that song just makes me think of him. So this is Kavanaugh Park by Something Corporate.
Never do change.
You know, the songs I got in my slush pile here are of kind of a... Oh, I should mention right now, I'm sitting in our living room, which has a skylight. It's awesome. You never see places with skylights. It's probably 5 feet across by 3 feet, 2.5 feet wide. It's big-ish. It's not huge, but it's pretty big. And it's big enough anyway that it makes a huge difference. Like, you never have to turn on a light in the daytime. I guess most places would have windows, and just the way this is set up, this is the central room, and all the other rooms with the windows come off of this room. So if it wasn't for the skylight, there'd be no window. But just luckily, we're on the top floor, which is also only the second floor, because I'm scared of heights. I don't like being beyond the fourth or so floor very much. But yeah, it just lights up the whole place. It's fucking cool. I really like it. That alone, it's like reason to stay in this fucking apartment. It's got a skylight, man. So yeah, these songs I got in this slush folder, they're of kind of a limited scope, really, I guess. Like, some things that I threw in here, but it's all kind of... You know, here's a bunch of Guns N' Roses demos, or I found some old Marilyn Manson demos, and just... I don't know how much I really want to play all this stuff. Like, one from each kind of will do it. But I'm going to play another Guns N' Roses demo, because this is 14 years, and it's Izzy Stradlin wrote and sings this song. I never could get into his stuff after Guns N' Roses very much, but in Guns N' Roses, he's awesome. I love all his songs, I like how he sings, I like everything about this guy. And he was, I think, the first to leave as well, when shit got fucked up. So, yeah, because I re-listened to that last one, what's it called, the Chinese Democracy, that was basically like an Axl Rose solo album. I remember I kind of didn't mind it when it came out, but listening back, it's pretty shitty. It's like two songs that I like, maybe three. Yeah, when, I don't know, as Axl drove everybody away, it did not make for a better band, that's for sure. So this song, 14 Years, it seems like, I just always assumed it was about a woman, but I read somewhere that it was about Izzy Stradlin and Axl Rose, because they were friends back in Indiana, way before everybody else met up in the band. So, but yeah, that seems weird if it is about his relationship with Axl Rose, just to directly write a song about, like, how I can't seem to get along with you, you fucking asshole. It's pretty weird. And even if it is partially about that, there's no way all the lyrics are about that. But this also has alternate lyrics, and it's just an awesome song. It's a good excuse to hear it again. So here's the demo from 1990, a year before the official album came out of 14 Years by Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Well, so here's an example. Like, I've got another AFI song from that one album, which, like I mentioned, I don't even like that album that much. It's the other albums that I like way more. So you'd think I should play a song from the old school days, right? But I don't know, just what's in my slush pile, and I was just letting it play, and I started singing along to this song. So who am I to deny, man? It's fucking catchy. Not like anyone comes to this show to be cool, right? We can listen to some nerdy crap. It's basically all I listen to, so fucking let's listen to it. This is called The Killing Lights, also from December Underground, by AFI. That used to mean a fire inside, and most certainly cannot possibly mean that anymore. Like, woo, they got this new album, Crash Love. I haven't really listened to it yet, but I knew it's like a year old or so. But, man, the video is like, whoo, man. It's like the main dude, Davey Havoc, like, he was so cool. He was in Son of Sam, the Samhain, like, follow-up band, and, like, he's a badass motherfucker, but now he's just, like, lame as shit. Like, so lame. Anyway, The Killing Lights by AFI.
Thank you.
All right, here's an old band from my neck of the woods, from the east coast of Canada. I think they're from Halifax specifically, somewhere around Nova Scotia. And they're called The Hardship Post, which I always thought was like a cool name, but I thought it was like about how newspapers never fucking say anything nice. Everyone just wants to hear bad news, so they'll stretch as far as they can to find it. So it's like The Hardship Post. It's where you go to read about hardships. But I found out hardship post is actually a term for, like, extreme conditions. If you're, like, a mailman having to deliver to crazy places, you get hardship post bonuses or something. It might be an antiquated term. Anyway, this band, they had an awesome EP, and then they got signed to Sub Pop and put out kind of a mediocre album, and then they just stopped. And it's too bad, because, like, I don't know, I like them. I wish they'd done more stuff. It's just weird, like, in all these years, the guy never picks up a guitar anymore, doesn't write any songs, like, why doesn't he have a fucking, I don't know, man, set up a little website or something? Why would you stop? In fact, after I play this song, it's called Tables and Chairs Upside Down. Kind of rough, kind of old school, 90s fucking shit. There's a Sloan song called Fade Away that Sloan is also from Halifax, and probably Americans don't know this, but in Canada, it was kind of a thing right after the grunge explosion. So then around, like, 92, 93, there was, like, a secondary blast in Halifax, this Halifax pop explosion, if you will, where it seemed like maybe the east coast of Canada was going to be the next little hotspot for some strange reason. Sub Pop signed a whole bunch of bands from there, and there was Jail and Eric's Trip and the Super Friends and Sloan. Sloan is the only one that really kind of stuck around, and even they didn't really make a big splash in the States, where Chris Murphy used to say that, like, he's kind of glad that they didn't break through in the States, because as it is now, they've had a really long career. Their 10th album just came out, 20-year career in Canada, whereas in the States it would have been maybe a flash, a bigger bang, you know, some kind of Nickelback fucking Sum 41 Avril Lavigne shit, but it's not sustainable. It's probably not for the greater good. But one of the guys in Sloan, Jay Ferguson, wrote this song, Fade Away, that's about all the contemporaries they had back then, all the other bands in that scene, of which the Hardship Post was one, and how everyone else seems content to fade away. I mean, sure, maybe your band didn't do as well as Sloan. Maybe nobody hit really big. But how do you just stop? How do you just stop making music? It's fucking crazy. So I'll play Tables and Chairs Upside Down by the Hardship Post, followed by Fade Away by Sloan.
Not here anymore. I can't expect you to
Look at what
All right, let's stick with some Canadianness for a bit. This is a girl named Holly McNarland, who the first website I ever made, just to teach myself some HTML way back in like 97 or so, was a Holly McNarland site, just because there wasn't one, and I was into this chick, and I just compiled some of her interviews and stuff together. Real simple little thing. And then someone else who had a bigger Holly McNarland site kind of incorporated it, just asked me, like, hey, you're not updating this, right? Mind if I just put all the shit you found on my site? And I was like, yes, please, go for it. And that was that. Yeah, she had this EP called Sour Pie that was really good. And then a debut album called Stuff that was not bad, but really live is where this chick really stood out. Like, man, she could sing like crazy, just awesome. And she's super hot, which I won't lie is one of the main reasons that I started listening to her music. But it's good. I like her songs a lot. And then she put out an album called Home Is Where My Feet Are that I can't even find online. Like, I looked around and it's just not around. I mean, for free. I don't know. I don't have an iTunes account, so I don't buy things so much very often. I always meant to check it out. I used to have a copy, but I don't anymore. Maybe it's still in my mom's house. Anyway, the single from it was called Beautiful Blue. It's a really cool video, too, if you ever just want to hop on YouTube and watch it. It's just it's a nice little song. It's kind of a slow build, but once it hits with the na-na-nas, la na 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 na. It's a good song. So this is Beautiful Blue by Holly McNarland.
Dreaming on a soul.
All right, so I got a bunch of Pearl Jam demos and stuff too from their first three albums, and that was pretty cool too to go back and re-listen to those first three especially. They're really good, man. I don't know, again, maybe it's just stuff that you liked when you were those formative music years when you're in junior high or high school. But it's nice to, because I don't know, I hit a point where I'd go back and listen to, and you know, things that like, it's just verse, chorus, verse. It seems very simple. It's like surprising I was so into this stuff. And then, you know, wander away to other weird music. And it's nice, though, to come back after all these years and like listen to those first three Pearl Jam albums. And it's like, yeah, they weren't re-fucking wiring the atomic bomb of God's brain, but they were good. They're just good, man. Fucking good. But I was going through all these demos and weird shit, and I found this is just a really strange one. It's this song called Sweet Lou that was, what was that album called? Lost Dogs, where it's just unreleased Pearl Jam shit. And this is not even that version of it. This is the rough mix from the outtake sessions for Yield. And so it's just a weird song, man. Who is Sweet Lou? I just assume he's some kind of basketball player or something. Let's look it up, shall we, since I'm at home. Sweet Lou. Meaning. Thank you, Google. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Pearl Jam's Jeff Ament wrote the song Sweet Lou. Hold on. Let's bring this up. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How do you get Sweet Lou out of that? That's weird. Pearl Jam's Jeff Ament wrote the song Sweet Lou about a similar incident. I don't know what the previous incident is. Where he met Abdul-Jabbar, whom he idolized, at a charity game and got a complete lack of response or interest. The song appears on the Pearl Jam B-Sides compilation, Lost Dogs. Well, let's see, what is this? Oh, I see, Magic Johnson asked Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for an autograph, and it didn't go so good. Fucking sportsman, who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? I don't even know who the fuck Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is. I've heard the name, but I don't fucking know. Like, these Vancouver riots just happened because they lost the Stanley Cup and went bananas and destroyed the city. And I'd like to point out, first of all, people are all like, hey, Canadians, wow, I can't believe Canadians did that. It was sports fans, okay? Being a sports fan transcends Canadianness. And that attachment to shit that makes no sense, you know? Like, people would point out how there are the majority of the other team, Boston, are Canadians. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Even if, well, none of it. It just, I'm not going to explain sports, all right? They're fucking stupid. Like, my new roommate, Other Keith, he's into sports, and I can talk to him with it a little bit, you know? I can get into it a little, and he's a good dude, but sports fans in general, holy shit, it's just like religion. It's just glomming on to a group for no fucking reason that makes no fucking sense, and you just ignore all rationality, and how is anyone surprised that they rioted and destroyed downtown Vancouver? Nothing they do makes sense. Not a goddamn thing they do makes sense. So they do one more crazy thing that doesn't make sense. Who gives a fucking shit? Sports. Bah. Sweet Lou by Pearl Jam. Demo mix.
Power high, power low. You can take them all to school. You can fly. Wilta still had nothing on you. Lamb chops and Afro do. Milwaukee Bucks and a barbecue. Number 33. Just like you. Sweet Lou, how could you? Sweet Lou, making me blue. Laker trade left Bobby D for a house, a guru by the sea. A little help from 32, Showtime and a goatee. Those were the days, pre-investment spree. Sweet Lou, is it true? Sweet Lou, how could you? Up trying to copy you, Bruce Lee and a kung fu actor, jazz man, gardener too. Little did I know, a loose screw, but you had your own shoe. Build 'em high, build 'em tall, a buffoon with a basketball. Tear 'em down, one and all. seven twos along with a ball. Sweet Lou, how could you?
Low battery already? Shit, dude. Guess I didn't charge these motherfuckers up. Gotta make this coffee I keep talking about. With my late start to the day, it's fucking 5:30. 5:30 and I'm making coffee. 5:30 in the evening. So, yeah, I'm gonna play some old school Weezer shit. This is some old demos, I think. How did this come about? It's like, they put out a special edition of Pinkerton? Is that where this is from? And, no, because that was the one. The special edition of Pinkerton, holy shit. The bonus tracks were just the singles. Just those three singles in, like, a million versions. Here's the demo, here's it live, here's it acoustic. It's really a test of, like, how many times can I listen to Pink Triangle, you know? It's a good song, but, like, what? Not a well-rounded bonus feature so much. No, maybe this was from those home recordings. There's these things called the home recordings of Rivers Cuomo, where it's like just weird little shit that he recorded on little tape players and stuff in his house. And one of them is this song, Blast Off, that before they put out their second album, Pinkerton, the original idea was for it to be this weird rock opera, and Blast Off was going to be the lead tune. It's one of the few songs from it. And then there's another one called Long Time Sunshine. It's been a while since I heard these, but if I remember right, you can hear elements of things that went into later songs in both these songs. They're just kind of neat things to hear. So I'm going to go charge up my batteries, yo. Let's listen to some old school Weezer.
States back east that I remember. my eyes as you fly away. Keep on going till you get someplace where you can truly rest.
Actually, let's just wrap this up. Let's finish with some Stone Temple Pilots from their first album, where, like the year, I guess it was, when was that, 8th grade? That I really started getting into music. Like in the 7th grade, I was listening to like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 and stuff, but by 8th grade, it was, man, so many albums. So Stone Temple Pilots Core came out, and then later that year was, their second album, Purple, and then, Siamese Dream, Pearl Jam, 10, and Verses, Nirvana in Utero came out that year, Alice in Chains, Dirt, like, those are just, like, the core albums of, like, the first year that I really got into music on my own was all that stuff, and it's, like, just, man, that's some good shit. So, yeah, since it's been so long since I heard this Stone Temple Pilots album and how this, their first album, it's so different, like, they've got a shit ton of albums, but it really got weird and varied, and the different types of music, and it lost that, just that kind of quick jab of like, boom, this is awesome. And I think one of the guys from Stone Temple Pilots in particular was the first guy I read in an interview talk about the idea that like your first album, that's the one you really work on, and you got tons of time. And I found some old demos from before. They were called Mighty Joe Young, and there's a bunch of bad songs that they just didn't release. Whereas after that first album, you know, the machine's moving. Every couple of years, you got to put out a new album, and you're already torn on top of it, and you just kind of got to put out what you got. You don't have time to craft it like that first one. And, and I think Stone Temple Pilots, they followed a pretty standard thing where the first album was really great, and then they did manage to keep the propulsion going for another couple albums just because just all the wheels were turning, you know, everything was all just functioning well, and then it slowly kind of devolved. But since it's been so long since I heard the first album, it kind of brought me back to those junior high days a little bit of just when you could just really get into music and just listen to like a single album just hundreds of times and just love it. Just be so like, whoa, this is so good. So I'm going to play this song called Naked Sunday. That's really good. And then I'm going to play Wicked Garden, which was never one of my favorite songs off the album, but just listening back, I don't know, it was a good one for, excuse me, I drank a bunch of coffee, now I'm burping. It triggered definite memories of me, that guy Tim. We had a friend named Rodney, who was also a good artist, and we all would hang out. And good times, man, good times. So here's some Stone Temple Pilots to finish off the show. We'll be right back.
called Kavanaugh Park.
At Kavanaugh Park, where I used to sit alone in the dark and dream about things that I cannot say, you always said destiny blew me. And nothing's gonna blow me away. At Kavanaugh Park, where you used to take me to play in the sand, you said to me, son, one day you'll be a man. And man can do terrible things. Yes, they can. There's never any place for someone like me to be totally happy. I'm running out of luck. That ain't a shock. Some things never do change. Never do change. Kavanaugh Park, we used to get high watching teams as they fought. They loved my friend Adam, but he always got caught. Man, that kid made fucking up look cool. Aren't we all so cool? Oh no, there was never any place for someone like me. Thought that I should, and no one's gonna tear me.